All right, take your Bibles, please, and find Luke chapter 11. And I'm so glad you're here and that we've had these couple of days together. Morning sessions were good, and the whole session's been good. And I sure am thankful for all my older friends like Brother Vaughn and all the privilege I have to serve with him. And he's been a good buddy to me. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm glad my wife's been here. Aren't you happy about that? And I'm glad she's been here. I've been happy about that. And Jacob and Charity and Matthew, I think's back there. And Brother Micah. And it's been a real privilege for all of us to serve you, no doubt about that. Are you ready to go home? Amen. Aren't you excited? It's August, which means school starts soon. Woo! Isn't that exciting? And hallelujah. What a blessing. Just thought I'd be an encouragement to you there and bring that up. And that's going to be great. God bless you guys for being so kind to me, though. I've enjoyed meeting you, talking to you. EvangelistDaveYoung.com has my email address on there. And if my wife or I could serve you in any way, shoot me an email from our website, and I would certainly get back with you and help you in any way that we could. It'd be our honor and privilege to do so. And I know that Brother Vaughn's always available, and he's all over Facebook. And so if you're lonely, follow him on Facebook, and he'll fill your Facebook page full of stuff. That's good stuff. All right, I'm in Luke chapter 11 for our final session together here. And how many of you have a red letter edition of the Bible? Do you? Most of these are the words of Jesus. And let's begin in verse 1. It came to pass that as he, that's Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In verse 5, and he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend? And shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? That's as far as we'll read. How many of you recognize these verses? Do you? Are they familiar to you? Most of us know the Lord's Prayer that's here, don't we? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We know that one. I thought in this final session that I would just preach to you a message that I'm going to simply entitle, Lord, Teach Us to Pray. Right out of verse 1 there. Lord, teach us to pray. This has been about a prayer meeting. And here's what's in my heart. Look at this on the screen. This is what's in my heart. Taking the student prayer advance home. Hasn't this been a great few days? This is an awesome event. And it's good to see friends, isn't it? And it's good to sing the songs and to be blessed by the songs. And it's good to go to the coffee shop. And it's good to stay up late and pray and talk and chat and laugh and enjoy each other. But you know, you can take this home with you, and you should. This is what God wants you to do. He wants you to learn this stuff so you can go home and you can be different and God can work in your life. So we're just going to jump right in for sake of time, because I know some of you got a long way to go. And let's just jump right in. There'll be 3 ways I'll outline these 13 verses. The first one will look like this. If you're taking notes, write this down. The request they made. All right, let's stop right there. The request they made. Look at verse 1 and 2, and let's talk about the request they made. It came to pass that he was praying in a certain place. When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to... All right, everybody. Lord, teach us to... All right. Now, here's what that implies, doesn't it? It implies that real, genuine prayers answered, things changed, miracles evident, that kind of praying has to be learned. Now, how many of you are aware of the fact that anybody can pray? Are you aware of that? Literally anybody can pray. Did you know, the Bible tells us this about our God. He is so good, He is so loving, He is so amazing, He is so wonderful, He is so just. You know what the Bible says about our God? That He makes it rain on the just and the unjust. Even the world that doesn't believe in God are recipients of His love, His mercy, His grace, and His goodness. And there's a sense in which the Bible says that God will not hear the prayer of the wicked. But I would suggest to you that our God is so loving, so good, it is such His nature to hear prayer, that God listens to prayer. That's what He does. That's who He is. That's His nature. And you can pray anywhere. How many of you are aware of the fact that you can pray while you're driving? Are you aware of that? How many of you drive? Do you drive? You can pray while you're driving. If you drive in some cities, you should. If you're 16 and driving, you ought to pray. And I promise you, your parents do. Your driving has helped their prayer life immensely. I'm sure of that. When you go to Walmart, you ought to pray. Did you know that? You ought to pray. You can pray while you're doing dishes. You can pray while you're taking a quiz. You ever done that one? Lord, help me to remember the things I didn't study. How many of you ever prayed that way? You ever prayed that? Lord, help! I know I didn't study. God, do a miracle. You can pray anywhere. You can pray while you're mowing the yard. You can pray while you're working out. But that's not the kind of praying He's talking about here. We might call it this. This is prayer life kind of praying. This is a different kind of praying because it's something we have to learn. Think about that. It not only has to be learned, this is just kind of maybe an odd way to say it, but I notice in this passage that not only is it something that has to be learned, real genuine praying has to, does this make sense? Real genuine praying has to be prayed. Because this is what Jesus said. This sounds kind of weird, but Jesus said, when ye pray, say. In other words, this is prayers that are prayed. And this kind of praying is something they noticed in Jesus' life. There's all kinds of things about this kind of praying. I would say it like this. It involves a place. It involves time. And I think it involves a posture. Place, time, posture. Just think with me. How many of you know the verse where Jesus said, when you pray, all right, when you pray, enter into your closet. Say the word closet. Enter into your closet and pray to your Father in secret, and your Father which seeth in secret will reward you openly, is the Bible paraphrase there. So here's the idea of this verse. There's a place involved. Our Savior Jesus, the Bible would often tell us he would get up a great while before day, and he would go to a specific place out in the wilderness or the Garden of Gethsemane or the Mount of Olives, and he had a definite place where he regularly met with God. So this kind of praying involves a place. Now let's just stop right there and let's just be practical about it. What place could you set aside as that's my prayer place? You can pray while you're taking a test. I'm not against that. You can pray while you're doing the dishes. You can pray while you're driving. But this kind of the praying is the praying Jesus says, go somewhere to pray like this. Go somewhere. Go to a closet. Get somewhere privately. You could pray in your bedroom, couldn't you? Or maybe in the basement. Or maybe in the garage. Or maybe in the living room. You could pray. Some of you, I noticed yesterday when I left during the hour of prayer, I noticed that some of you are praying out on the grounds. Somebody was sitting under a tree. There's a place involved. Daniel had a place. You ever read that in your Bible? There was a king that said, all right, we're going to sign a law. You can't pray to anybody but me. And here's what Daniel did. The Bible says Daniel knew the law was signed, and he went back to his room where he lived, and he opened his windows toward Jerusalem. And the reason he did that is because the temple was at Jerusalem, and God had said to Solomon when the temple was dedicated, no matter where you are, you pray towards this temple, and I live here, and I will hear that prayer, and I will answer it. So Daniel, as an act of faith, opened his windows in that direction, and the Bible says he did this. He kneeled three times a day. Notice he had a place, and he had a time. Set aside, desert. I'm going to meet with God in this place, this time, and I'm going to take my request and spend time with God. Any one of you young people can take the prayer advance home. You're going to have a place where you're going to say, you know what, I'm going to meet with God in this place, and this is when I'm going to do it. The Bible says about the psalmist that he prayed morning and noon and evening three times a day. Now, that's not a command. The Bible doesn't say pray three times a day. The Bible actually says pray without ceasing. But this kind of praying that Jesus is teaching them in Luke 11 is the kind that he did, in a place at a specific time. You know, I'm going to tell you some young people. You know what I find in our churches all the time? That there are people that believe in prayer. There are people that love God. There are people that believe the Bible. They don't have a time where they regularly pray, and they don't have a place where they have designated, this is where I meet with God. And I will tell you that many of the people in our churches never pray. They don't have a place. They don't have a time. You can pray while you're driving, but that's not this kind of praying. This kind of praying is on purpose, privately, set aside in a place to meet with God. And any one of you young people can take this prayer advance home with you, and you can get a place and a time and meet with God. I personally believe that it does involve a posture. How many of you are aware of what I mean when I say posture? Just a moment ago, Dr. Anderson came up and gave us a posture, didn't he? He said, take your hands. You ready? Take your hands and bring them together. You ever seen somebody praying like this? This is a posture. If you see somebody doing this, you would probably assume they're doing what? They're praying. If you see somebody doing this, what would you assume they're doing? They're not asleep, because you'd be falling over. They're praying. You see somebody doing this, what do you suppose they're doing? This is not football, this is prayer. You'd assume they're praying, or they're trying to get attention on screen in a football game. They're praying. Prayer is a posture. I have a friend, and when he prays like this. First time he ever did it, it kind of threw me off guard, because I was in his office, and I was getting ready to preach in his church, and he says, all right, Brother Young, he said, let's pray. And so I was like, okay. And then I heard him like, you know, all this moving around, and so I peeked, and you're not supposed to, but I did. I Baptist cheated, okay? And I peeked, and he's flat on his face, and I didn't know what to do. So I was like, do I join him? Yeah, am I supposed to lay down there? He's the same guy that was praying with his grandson not long ago, and his grandson's like 7, and grandpa prays big prayers, major prayers of faith, and he was praying with his grandson. His grandson was spending the night with him, and he's just praying away, laying on the ground beside his son, who's sleeping on the floor in a sleeping bag, and he's laying beside his grandson, and he's praying, and grandpa prayed for his 7-year-old grandson. He said, oh, Lord, he said, now you bless my grandson with a good wife. And his grandson goes, whoa, 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 whoa. Not right now, Grandpa. I don't need that. That was a grandson that believed in Grandpa's praying. I'm going to look up and there's my wife. That's powerful praying, wouldn't you say? Just flat on his face. See, that's a posture. Everybody that has a prayer life needs to think about, where am I going to do it? And what time am I going to do it? And what's my posture? There's many postures in prayer. You can kneel. David, the Bible tells us, went to the temple and sat in the presence of God. Sitting in prayer could be an acceptable posture. Probably the most familiar one to us is kneeling. I don't know why it is, but there is something about this. It draws my attention to the prayer. It's an act of reverence. This is an acceptable prayer posture if you're a guy. This. Because the Bible says, I will that men pray lifting up holy hands. It's a little awkward for us Baptists because we've been taught this is wrong. Baptists don't do that. We are not charismatic. We give all these answers. But a charismatic might be wrong in an area or two, but it wouldn't be because he does this. Did y'all know that? So guys, this would be fine to pray this way. This would be fine. Someone said to me one time, "Oh, come on, that's just cultural. You know, you don't have to pray like that. It's just cultural. Kneeling, this is all cultural." Well, maybe it is. Maybe it's just some cultural stuff to it. But how many of you are aware of the fact that cultural things aren't necessarily wrong? Like for instance, did you know that you'll find in the Bible that the Bible says very dogmatically, just straight up says this? It says, greet the brethren with a holy kiss. How many of y'all knew the Bible said that? Did y'all know the Bible said that? How many of you ever seen that practiced? I've been here with all kinds of guys this week, and not one obeyed that verse. Not one. For which I'm very thankful. So, can there be things in the Bible that have a cultural connotation to them? Let me ask you a question, guys and girls. Even though that's a culturally awkward thing, would it be wrong, yes or no? No. That would be awkward for us, but it wouldn't be wrong. If Brother Harold gave me a hug and gave me a kiss, I would be like, okay. But there wasn't anything wrong with it. I was in one church in Alabama several years ago, and I was on the front row. And one of my buddies was the youth pastor in that church, and there was a guy in that church, an older man, and he was famous that he would greet you with a holy kiss. And my friend knew it and didn't bother telling me. I could have been forewarned. But he didn't tell me, and I was up front. How many of you go to church and were like in the service? About, all right, y'all turn around and shake hands, everybody, and tell them how glad you are to see them in the house of the Lord. Y'all have a church like that? This is one of those kinds. Everybody, y'all turn around and tell everybody you're glad to see them. Let's just hug each other's neck, tell them how glad we are to see them in the house of the Lord. And so they all hugging necks and greeting each other in the house of the Lord. And I was ready to preach because, you know, there were 5 minutes, right? And I'm thinking, you know, at 8:30, 5 minutes is a big difference than at 7:15. You know, come on, we got to get this, okay, greet everybody and get them in the house of the Lord and let's preach. And this guy came around the corner. He's an older man, came around. And I was on the front row ready to preach. I'm like, okay, come on, let's get it going. The guy comes in like this. I thought he was coming in for a hug. Because he wasn't coming in for a hug. He was coming in for an old-fashioned smooch. Guy just laid a big one on me. I mean, just kiss it. And I was dumbfounded. I had a good friend across the way, like, and I'm like, this guy just kissed me. And you know, I didn't know, do I rub it in or rub it off? I'm like, what in the world? And after he kissed me, I was sitting there. I mean, I was caught off guard. He opened my jacket and my suit coat and stuffed something in my pocket. I didn't even remember that until like 4 hours later. And 4 hours later, I was in my RV behind the church, and I thought, that guy put something in my pocket. And I ran up to my closet in the RV, and I reached inside there and pulled out this envelope, and I opened it, and this is the absolute truth. Inside that envelope was $1,000. The next night, I was like, where is he? Brother, bring it on! So that's just my general rule of thumb. You can kiss me if you want, but I prefer $1,000 in the pocket, all right? See, here's the deal. Sometimes we think like this in our churches. You know, this is just cultural. This is just cultural. Well, it might be, guys and girls, but I want to tell you, it will do some of you kids well if you'll go home and learn to do this. If you'll get in a closet somewhere, those family situations you got back home, there's a God who cares, and He hears prayer. And that school you're going to this fall at your public school that is so messed up with kids that are so messed up and they cuss like sailors and their sexual life is a mess and they're addicted to pornography and you know what? Those kids need somebody in a closet somewhere praying for them. And your youth group that is dead and boring sometimes because you go to Sunday school and the crowd's sitting there and you walk in and everybody's dead and bored and there's no life, and there's a kid by himself, and he's a guest, and nobody's even bothered to say hello to him. You know what your youth group needs? Somebody to get on their knees like this and cry out to God for revival in your youth group. And some of your churches are a little boring. I know because I'm a Baptist. And sometimes as Baptists, our service can be as dead as the day is long. We sing like we're at a funeral. There's a place to be at a funeral. We ought to be a little quiet at a funeral. But sometimes in our services, you know, I look around, so I'm on the platform, so I'm and half the people aren't singing. And I look at teenagers that aren't even singing. I'm telling you, stop complaining about your church and get yourself in a prayer closet somewhere and get on your knees and say, God, pour out your spirit in our church and scare them half to death. God's able to move in your church. And so what He's inviting us to here is, Lord, teach us how to pray. It involves a place, it involves a time, and it involves a posture. Young people, I want to tell you, go home and decide to start a prayer life. In fact, if you can, do it daily. Get off the video game and take some. The Bible doesn't hammer you about a time. Pray 10 hours. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says pray. So set aside 15 minutes and get on your knees and pray for you and your family and your school and your church and your pastor and your youth pastor. There's a God in heaven who hears prayer. Believe that. And pray big while you're at it. Pray big. God hears big prayers. Did you know that? Big ones. I love this verse in the Old Testament that says, open thy mouth wide. Show me. That's kind of a weird thing to do, isn't it? Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. No, he doesn't mean literally. What he means is pray as big as you want to. God can answer that. Pray as big as you want to. Have you ever read this in your Bible? You know the Bible says this about faith? The Bible says if you have faith as a mountain, you can move mustard seeds. You ever read that in your Bible? No, because it's not there. What does it say? Tell me. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you move mountains. You know what that tells us? It's not about, I'm a man of great faith. Maybe you're not. Maybe all you got's a little bit. If I had a mustard seed right here, most of you couldn't see it. Because it's so tiny. Oh, there it is. This is a tiny little thing. There it is. Look at the little tiny seed. It's a cutie. This tiny little thing. You couldn't see it. But Jesus said, you know what? I'm so big. If you got that much faith, ask. Ask. You know what? I almost feel like saying this. Shame on us if we don't have revival. Shame on us if we're not seeing people saved in our churches. Shame on us if the power of God's all over our lives. Shame on us if there's all kinds of things God wants to do and we never ask. You say, well, I am not a person of great faith. No, it's not about faith. It's about you're too busy to pray. It's about video games are more important to you than praying. It's about tweeting your friends or Snapchatting your friends or kicking your friends is more important than praying. It's about Instagramming a photo of what you had for lunch is more important than praying. None of those things are necessarily wrong if you use them correctly. But some of you kids, you love the prayer advance, you come to prayer advance, and you have a sweet hour of prayer, and it's wonderful, and you go home and say, wasn't that awesome? But this is no time to go home and say, wasn't that awesome? This is time to go home and say, okay, Lord, teach me to pray. Over this next year, I want to pray and regularly see answers to prayer. So the first thing he says is the request they made. Here's the second thing he shows us, all right? It's the model they received. The first thing that Jesus does, and I got to close here in a few moments, is give them a model. Jesus said, all right, here's what you got to do. If you want to learn how to pray, pray something like this. Say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. How many of y'all have heard that prayer before? Have you? Now here's what Jesus is saying. He said, let me teach you how to pray by giving you a model. Three things I've discovered in this model prayer that's been a help to me. In the first place, there's relationship. In the second place, there's reverence. And the third place, there's requests. I found that in these three verses. Or these two verses. This model prayer, or three verses. This model prayer is relationship. What's the first line of the prayer? Our, say it out loud, our Father which is in heaven. That's relationship, isn't it? Hey guys and girls, how many of you know that you're saved on your way to heaven? Raise your hand good and high. You know you're saved, you know you're born again, you're on your way to heaven. Let me tell you something. Then you have a heavenly Father who is almighty and powerful and able to answer your prayers. And you go on that basis. It's not that I am a man of great faith, that I am so powerful. That's none of that at all. I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I don't deserve anything. But I have an amazing Heavenly Father who loves me and cares about me. And I can go to my closet, and I can get on my knees, and I can say, Lord, you're my loving Heavenly Father, and I'm coming into your presence because I got a need. And the Bible says, ask as big as you want. Open your mouth wide. And God says, I can feel that. I can do it. Yep. It's not like God in heaven. It's like, oh my goodness, that's pretty big. No, because God's the God who one day, where there was nothing, said, let there be light. Amen. And he's the one who said one day, let there be stars. And he's the God who just created a sun and hung it up there where it's supposed to be so it could heat the entire world. And he's the one that gave us life, and he can do anything. So here's the point. You have a Heavenly Father. It's relationship. Notice there's reverence. Our Father, which art in heaven. Notice this is a prayer that's a prayer life. This involves a reverence. This has a tone of reverence to it, doesn't it, when we did this? This is reverence. This is God. We bow. That's reverence. When I go to my college in the Philippines and I speak at graduation or whatever, The folks in the Philippines, we have Filipinos in the room, any Filipinos here? The Filipino folks that I know, they'll come through graduation and they call me doctor. I have an honorary, it doesn't mean anything. So I only go by it in something formal like that. But they come by, Dr. Young. And the Filipinos have this cultural thing they do. They'll shake your hand and then they take their hand and they touch it to their forehead. And they kind of bow towards you. So it's like this right here. They'll come by and they'll take my hand and they'll do it like this. They'll take my hand and they'll go. And then they walk on. This happens to me all the time when I'm in the Philippines. First time it happened, I thought, what did they just do? Caught me off guard. I'm like, okay, to YouTube. Because Nobody told me this, what they were going to do. And all the little children in the Philippines, everybody's little kids, they'll bring them by after I preach, and they'll be like, show respect. And the little kids will come up, and they're so adorable. You know, their dark eyes. And they'll come by, and they'll reach out, and they'll take my head, and they'll put it to their forehead. They kind of bow to me. See, there's respect. This is what this kind of prayer is about. This is a matter, why do I kneel with this kind of praying? Because there's something about kneeling that's reverential. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Sometimes, kids, one of the errors sometimes in our generation is we can be flippant coming into the presence of God. Like sometimes at a concert, I'll hear somebody say, and they'll be like, let's give the devil a black eye. And they'll, just the way they refer to God is kind of flippant. And I think there's a sense in which they're trying to remind a generation that God is so personal and so real that we have a close relationship with a Father. But although he uses this word, he's still the God of the universe. I mean, you know what I mean by that? He's still God, which is why in this model prayer, he adds reverence to this kind of praying. There's times when you pray, you don't have time for reverence. God, help! Help! I need help right now! Help! Oh, Lord, help! That's a quick prayer. But this kind of praying Jesus is talking about is a time, a place. It's a posture. There's relationship. How many of you have a Heavenly Father? So you got number one. How many of you could kneel, could bow your head, could close your eyes, could find a place to be in the presence of God? So you have relationship and reverence. Then the only other thing you need is requests. And they're just loaded. Everything else, there's a request. He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. How many of you guys here goes, that's an odd verse to me? Because here's what that verse implies. In heaven, God's will is always done. But apparently not always on earth. Now listen, I don't understand that. Because he's Almighty God. And so he tells us to pray, Lord, just like your will is done in heaven all the time, accomplish your will on earth. And here's one thing I've learned. There's many things I could preach about that, but I'm going to just tell you one thing about it. And here's one thing that you ought to recognize. Guys and girls, don't ever miss the fact that your praying's important. It's somehow connected to God's will being done on earth. Your praying is connected to God's will being done on earth. The Bible even says things like this. The Bible says, you have not because there's things God wants to do that he can't do because you didn't ask. I talked to you in our session right here at 8:45. We talked in this session about having a trouble in your home and what do you do about it. And remember, one of the things we taught in that session was, sometimes I can't solve the problem, but I have a God who cares and can. And I go into his presence because God's will is not being done when your home is a mess. Did I say that right? God's will is not being done. He doesn't want your home to be a mess. So you get on your knees and cry out to God. God, you got to do your will in my family. You got to work on my daddy. You got to work on my mom. You got to work on me. You got to work on my brother. You got to work on my sister. You got to help my stepmom, my stepdad, my stepbrother, my stepsister. Your praying is important. Am I making sense? And so he says, give us day by day our daily bread. Do you have any needs? Go to God and ask. Go to God and ask. He cares. Just ask. Go to God and say, Lord, I need this, and I need that. And ask him and thank him for it. He hears and answers prayer. I prayed some years ago for a suit. I wear suits a lot when I preach, and you wear them out pretty fast when you're in and out of vehicles and setting up book tables and tearing down book tables and carrying books. And so I just needed a new suit. And so I prayed about it. Lord, I don't have the money, but I need a new suit. I guess it was maybe a week later or so that my wife wanted to go shopping. We were in Columbus, Ohio, and there's a ton of nice malls there, but she asked if we could stop by this GW Fashions. Are you guys familiar with those? GW Fashions, some people call Goodwills, and that just sounds beneath us, so we call it GW Fashions. And so we went to this really nice GW Fashions, this Goodwill on the north side of Columbus, Ohio. And how many of you are aware of the fact that typically they would say this, men hate shopping? That's not always true, but typically that's often true. Men hate to shop. How many guys are with me? You don't like to shop. I'll tell you why. There's all kinds of reasons men don't like to shop. One is that typically the women's section is about the size of this auditorium, and the men's section is about the size of the piano. So it takes me 5 minutes to look at the men's section. It takes her 7 years to look at the ladies' section. I mean, you know what I'm talking about there. So my wife goes in. Luckily, this GW Fashion had an old men's bench. And I'm not qualified yet, but I was going to go sit on the bench, but I'll at least look at the guys. So I go to this shop, or this men's rack, and had a section of suits. So I'm looking through these suits, and all of a sudden I saw this suit that had the tags on it. It's a brand new suit. So I pulled it off the rack, and it not only was a brand new suit, it was a $1,200 Burberry brand new suit. I'll try this one on. So I went and tried it on, and it was absolutely amazing. The pants had been hemmed and cuffed exactly the way I like them, to my specific length. The waist had been taken in, and it fit me perfectly. The coat had been altered to my precise alterations. The sleeve was my perfect length. Here's a $1,200 brand new suit at a Goodwill on a rack with the tag still on it that had been altered to fit me. And I got it for $12. A brand new suit. You know why? So he says, well, boy, wasn't that lucky that you stopped by there with your wife? Well, I guess you could look at it that way, but I will tell you what really happened. I prayed and said, God, you know I need a new suit and I don't have the money. And apparently God said to somebody, go down there and buy that suit. Oh, it doesn't fit you, so give it to Goodwill. And then God said to my wife, take your men shopping. And my wife drugged me shopping because God Almighty was answering my prayer. God cares about you that much. You go to God and pray when you need forgiveness, and pray when somebody's done you wrong, and pray about your family. Learn how to pray. He gives us a model. Let's close. Let's close. There is a request they made. How many of y'all got that one? Yes or no? There's a model they received. If you got it, say, I got it. And then here's something strange. He gave them a lesson. So here's how I outline the text. There's a request they made, a model they were given, and apparently a lesson they needed. Now, this is a strange story, and I can't be long because I could preach for hours on this one. Jesus is talking to them on what subject? You tell me. Prayer. What do we say about prayer? God answers prayer. All right? Well, then this is a weird story because Jesus says, let me illustrate for you how to pray. He tells them a story. Here's a guy. Here's a guy, and he's got this friend that has everything. And his other friend comes to see him. And this friend is hungry. And he has nothing to feed his hungry friend. But he has a friend over here who has everything. All right? Let's just imagine, since this is an illustration about prayer, who would you suppose the friend who has everything would represent?
God.
Who would the friend who's asking represent? Me and you. And he's praying for someone with a need. So here's what Jesus, and I'm going to paraphrase it. This friend, me and you, goes to the friend that has everything, God, and the friend says, it's midnight, by the way, it's midnight. I need 3 loaves. A friend of mine came to see me, and I don't have anything to give him. I need 3 loaves. I'm sorry, I'm in bed with my kids, and the answer's no. Whoa, 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 whoa. That's not how you illustrate prayer. You're not supposed to go to God and say, God, and God go, no. That's not how you preach on prayer. And I read this and I'm thinking to myself, I hate to say this, but that doesn't seem like the best way to illustrate how to pray and get your prayers answered. I thought God answers prayer. We're always given these great statements of faith till we get here. And Jesus, let me tell you a story about prayer. This guy went and asked, and the answer was, not on your life. My kids are with me in bed. And I'm thinking, that's kind of weird too. I mean, why's this guy's kids in bed with him? That's a little weird. This whole story is just kind of weird. And then Jesus says, oh, let me just tell you something here. He said to him, he's not even going to answer this prayer because he's his friend. But there's another level of praying I want to tell you about. Here's why he answers this prayer. The word is importunity. Say the word.
And here's an illustration of importunity. It means relentlessness. It means completely unembarrassed. And it literally sounds like this in the picture. How many of you would get out of bed? Okay, fine. You can have the bread. Feed your friend. Now, it's a silly illustration almost in our thinking as a, in our particular mindset and culture. But what Jesus is illustrating is several things. Give me the slide there, Brother Lynn. Urgency. Here's a need. It's midnight, and this is a need I can't meet, and it needs to be met. There's some praying that involves urgency. Here's the second thing. Write this down. It involves importunity. Guys and girls, here's the only thing I know to tell you. There are some prayers that have a note of urgency that demand that you can't just pray one time. The enemy's fighting. The devil's prowling. He wants to destroy, devour. And sometimes there are prayers that aren't answered without a spiritual battle. A midnight time of importunity, of knocking and knocking and knocking, knocking. He's trying to teach us a lesson here. Some of you kids are going home to a tough situation. And if you're not careful, here's what the devil will tell you. Well, see, you prayed about it, nothing happened. I'll tell you why he said that, why he'll tell you that. Because his goal is to get you to stop praying. And here's what most of you will do. You'll give up. I prayed for my dad to get saved and nothing happened. Just like this guy who knocked and the answer was no. I prayed for our church and nothing happened. Just like this guy who knocked and the answer was no. What Jesus is trying to tell us is, guys and girls, there are some things you can never stop praying about because there's a spiritual battle at work and the enemy is fighting and the war is raging. And your prayer is part of the victory. My grandfather, I never knew him. He divorced my grandmother when my mom was 371 years ago. Walked out of mom's life and never came back. My mother never saw her grandpa or her dad. Never saw her dad, never knew her dad, had no relationship, nothing to do with her dad. Was raised by mom and eventually a stepdad and stepbrothers. And it's my mom. She didn't know her daddy. 19 years ago, I met him, found him, went to California and took him out to lunch and got to know a man who is my grandfather that I had never seen before in my life. And he was anti-God. And anti the gospel, and bitter and angry. Well to do. He had money. I introduced him to my mom, and after he and my mom started working on building a relationship, he sent my mom a birthday card. I think it was her 60th birthday, and he sent her $25,000 for her birthday. I wrote him a letter and told him my birthday was February the 12th. No, I didn't, because I didn't want his money. I wanted him to be saved. And Grandpa ran me off, told me to stop talking to him, treated me disrespectfully, would have nothing to do with God. I called him on the phone, talked to him about Jesus one day, so he unplugged his phone and shut down his phone line. So I couldn't call him. I only had one thing I could do, kids, and that was pray. And I'll just tell you flat out, my prayer was weak. Because there were times I thought, he's never going to get saved. He's old, he's bitter, he's angry. He's never going to get saved. Many nights we meet for prayer as a family, and Charity over here would say, I'd say, what are we going to pray for tonight? Any requests? I can't tell you how many times my Charity said, pray for great-grandpa Trenum to be saved. Pray for great-grandpa Trenum to be saved. And I'd ask again, and I would ask again. I even drove all the way to California to take him to dinner to talk to him, and he didn't show up. He didn't come. He's never going to get saved, maybe. My wife and I, several years ago, were preaching at a, I was speaking at a couples conference. She was speaking as well, and we were in Cleveland, Ohio. And the pastor took us out to lunch. And during the meal, my phone kind of buzzed. But the pastor was talking, and it was at supper time, and I didn't want to, you know, look at my phone. But it kept buzzing, and then my wife's phone started buzzing. And so we knew, you know, so my wife, you know, kind of discreetly looks at her phone. My children, who are in college in California at West Coast Baptist College, my daughter had sent my wife a text, and me, but I hadn't looked. But she sent my wife a text, and she said, just as these words, "Great Grandpa Trenum is getting saved." Because a friend of ours went and picked him up, brought him to the campus to see his great-great-grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, my children. And here's this 92-year-old man, walks on the campus and goes into the church building there, and he said, "Wow, it's the first time I've been in a church building since 1946. I mean, it's a long time." And he said to my friend Nicole, she's a friend of our family, and he said, "Nicole, every time I go to bed, I lay there awake, and all I can think about is this getting saved thing, about Jesus. And if I go to sleep, I dream about it." And he said to Nicole, "I'm ready. Can you help me to get saved?" And my 92-year-old grandpa trusted Christ to save him and is in church every Sunday morning now at Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. God answered that prayer. My faith wasn't that great. It wasn't that I'm a great man of belief. Wasn't that at all. But I kept asking and I kept asking. And there's a God in heaven that did the work. Amen. Kids, go home and pray with urgency and with importunity. Throw up the screen that has all four on it, would you? Let's just do it fast. Intercession is what he's talking about here. There's kids in your school that need somebody to go to a closet and get on their knees and say, "God, you got to save Sally and Sam and John and Junior. You got to save my coach and you got to save my English teacher. God, you got to do it, and I don't know what to do, and I can't do it." And here's how Jesus closes it. Jesus said, "You come to me and you pray with urgency and you pray with importunity and you pray with intercession, and I tell you what I'm going to do for you. I will give you..." And here's what he says, "the Holy Spirit." It's kind of an odd statement. It's theologically debated for you adults in the room. But I can give you a little teaching about it. In the Greek language, in that verse, there's no article. So it literally says, "I will give you Holy Spirit." We don't talk that way. When there is a noun, a proper noun, without the article, the in the Greek language, it's not meaning that he's going to give us the person. It refers to his essence, if you will. And here's all Jesus is saying in that passage. When you come to me with urgency and importunity, and you intercede for your family and your friends and your school and your church and your youth group, I'll give you the power of the Holy Spirit. And I will use you. And I will, through you, accomplish great things. Kids, this is an incredible way to take the student prayer advance home. Look at this. Pray. I just threw these on the screen. I'm done. Give me that next screen, would you? How many of you know that you ought to pray for your family? How many of you have family you need back home? It's time to get a prayer life. How many of you have friends you'd love to see saved? Hey, it's time to get a prayer life. How many of you would love to see God do something great in your youth group at church? All right, then pray. Wouldn't it be awesome if a public school in your town had revival and 150 kids in your public school got saved? I mean, honestly, would you be opposed to that? Would that be awesome? Would that be awesome? 150 kids got saved in my public school this year. It'd be awesome. Cry out to God. Believe God. Let's do this today. Determine when you leave this place that you're going to start a prayer life. Some of you have never had one. You come to the student prayer advance and you prayed for an hour and you enjoyed it. And now let's go home and start a prayer life. Let's go home and get a place and a time and start praying. And don't give up.
Maybe you had one and you've kind of let it go by the wayside this summer and you've stopped praying and you've played video games and you've slept in and you haven't seen God do anything. It's time to renew your prayer life before we leave here. And some of you have some big needs in your life. You got a family situation. You got a friend that needs to be saved. You got a dad that needs to be saved. And what we ought to do is we ought to get together with somebody from our home church and say, will you pray with me every day until God answers this prayer? You know, the Bible says, if two of us agree on earth in prayer, God will hear that prayer. I don't understand how all this works. But the Bible says it, and if the Bible says it, you can believe it. And you can go to God, and you can say to God, God, in your word you said, if two of us agree in this matter, that you will hear this prayer. And God, this is me, and this is my friend, and the two of us are asking you together to do this. And there is a God in heaven who delights in answering those kind of prayers. Guys and girls, you have a great God. Staff, you have a great God. Church workers, you have a great God. Let's get on our knees again. Let's go home and pray and cry and let's see revival in our generation. Our God is able. Our God still works. Our God still does miracles. Our God is still alive. Our God is still saving. And God wants to work in your life and in your family and in your school and in your church. And He will do it if you will pray. And that's the point of Luke chapter 11. How many of you would say, you know what, Dave? No, don't bow your head. Don't bow your head. Nobody heard us. How many of you would say, Dave, I got to see what I need to do. I need to determine when I leave here that I'm starting a prayer life. I don't know if I can pray an hour, but I can pray 5 minutes. I can pray. How many of you will start a prayer life when you go home? I'm going to start one. How many of you say, you know, Dave, I had one. I prayed. It was part of my life. And I don't know what happened. I don't know if I just gotten lazy or just gotten, you know, cold-hearted maybe. But I need to renew a prayer life. I did it one time, but I need to renew a prayer life. Let me see your hand like that. I need to renew a prayer life. How many of you would say, Dave, there's some big needs. I'm telling you, take a miracle. I'm just telling you, I can't do it. I don't have any bread. I just can't do it. I don't even know if God will. I hope He will. I want, but I don't know. But I would love to see God do this. And there's a need in my life that absolutely is going to take a miracle. And I am going to start asking God for that miracle. Let me see your hand. How many of you pray like that? All right, then we need to have an invitation. Because some of you kids need to walk out of your seat and come to the front of this building and you say, God, I'm going to start a prayer life. And some of you need to say, God, I'm going to renew a prayer life. Maybe all of us do. But some of you need to get with a friend right now and you need to come down the front of this building and say, you know what? Will you pray with me every day about? Some of you kids go to public school and you ought to get together and start praying for an old-fashioned revival in your public school that sees hundreds saved. Those kids are broken. They're from broken homes. They're addicted to pornography. And there's nowhere to go but up. And I'm telling you, there's no how far can we go down? There's a God in heaven that loves every kid in your public school, in your town, and wants to save them. Believe God and get together and cry out to God for it. Would you pray? Would you make commitments? Will you decide? Will you promise God? Brother Dan's going to come, and Brother Dan's going to pray, play on the piano. He's going to play God Answers Prayer. He's going to play that little chorus. God is so good. God answers prayer. God hears prayer. And I want you to make some commitments. Will you come right now? Will you get a friend? Will you walk down an aisle? Will you renew a prayer life? Will you just do it right now? Don't wait. Come on, right now. I will start a prayer life. I will renew a prayer life. Get a friend to pray with you around this auditorium and believe God for something big. And pray for something mighty. Let's take the student prayer events home and let's see revival. Let's take the student prayer events home and let's see a youth group have revival. Let's see a public school have revival. Let's see hundreds saved in our generation. Let's cry out to God. Let's believe God again. You pastors in the building, don't be discouraged. Believe God. You adults in the building, let's not be discouraged. Let's believe God. Let's go home. Let's turn the world upside down for Christ. Let's believe God.
Father, pour out your Spirit on these young people. Fill them with your power. Work in their hearts and their homes and their lives and their schools and their churches, their youth groups. Oh God, send revival in our land and our generation through these young people. Deliver young people from addictions. Oh God, from bitterness and worry and frustration. Oh Lord God, hear their cry. Turn this group of young people into the revival generation in a mighty way. Use us. Oh God, I pray. I pray, oh God. I ask you to work. In the name of our Savior Jesus, all of God's people said,